It's live from FM 91 on the road at the University of Michigan. I'm Brad Cresswell. Mary Claire Murphy is here with me. And we have yet another interview, and that is the violinist Fabiola Kim. Welcome, Fabiola.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I love your first name, by the way. It's fabulous, right? Is that your birth name?
It actually is. Some people ask me whether it's my stage name. And actually, in fact, one of my teachers when I was younger said, you know, you have the best stage name.
Yeah.
But it is actually a name that I was given by my parents.
Wow, good job, parents. So you are a violinist.
Yes.
On faculty here at University of Michigan. First of all, tell us a little bit about how you came to the violin, how it came in your life, and then we'll talk about U of M.
Sure. It's an interesting topic and something that I talk to my students a lot about. I came to the violin very naturally because my parents are musicians, and my dad he's still very active. He's a pianist, conductor, and the president of a conservatory in Korea. And my mom was a violinist, really fabulous violinist. She unfortunately doesn't play anymore, and she went into a different field. But so I grew up with them playing and teaching at home. And funny enough, I was never that drawn to the piano. I thought, okay, piano's fine. But I was so drawn to the violin and how it only has four strings, but all the colors that it was making, all the different sounds and notes. So I remember asking for a violin when I was very young. And
wow.
My mom was actually very hesitant. She wasn't sure that she wanted me to do the same thing, but she said she finally gave in and bought me a violin.
It's interesting to hear the backstories of all the personalities that have come through here today. Some are from a musical family, have, you know, their life kind of pushed in that direction. Mm-hmm. Others are from a musical family and they rebel,
right.
You know, away
absolutely.
From that direction. And others are just, you know, sprung from the head of Zeus as a musician with no connection whatsoever. How did you come to Michigan and to teach at this school?
First of all, I'm very happy to be here. This is my fourth year being here. I actually started right in the middle of the pandemic, September of 2020. Or late August, I should say. So I was already teaching a lot. I started teaching probably earlier than a lot of people do. Even in my early 20s, I was already teaching in college. And I was working with my mentor. He's, you know, still my mentor. And we run a summer program together now every summer. So we're co-directors, founders. But I was working as his assistant at the Colburn School. And this job opened up. And I'm so happy to be here. I have great colleagues. Students are, you know, amazing, talented, inspired, inspiring. So it's been great.
I imagine that must have been pretty unusual to come here as the pandemic was raging, you know, and to start out as a new teacher with students and everybody kind of being on you know, the edge of edge of pins kind of thing, you know, needles.
Yeah, a lot of unknowns. But, you know, I did see a lot of my students in person, even though we were on a hybrid mode. And the building was very empty. So I got to get into all these, all the halls, you know, Britain Recital Hall, even Stamps Auditorium, because it was just empty. So I got to teach in.
You brought one recording with you. I know that you have just finished another one. I want to talk about both of them, and we'll listen to a couple of excerpts from this first recording. It's called 1939, and what is the significance of 1939?
So I started looking at a recording project with the label, the company, and we actually landed on the Bartok Concerto, which is probably the most known of the three.
Yeah.
And, 1939, beginning of the war, it's an interesting time period, and especially in Europe. So we thought, you know, what are the other concertos written around this period, if there are any? Actually, there are quite a few, and they're more than what's on the CD. And we found the Walton and the Hartman. Both are interesting. Walton, you know, everyone knows his viola concerto, the cello concerto to a certain extent. The violin concerto, not really as often played, I think is, in my opinion, the best out of the three. But it's a beautiful concerto. And again, it's a dark period of time, but his personal life, I think, was actually pretty happy. He was in love, and you can really hear a lot of that. And Hartman, he's a composer from Munich, and he was actually very, you know, sort of in a dark period of his life too, with the war and where he stood, and you can really hear a lot of that. And but he does write about how hopeful he was of humanity and the future, and you can really, I think, hear that in the last movement as well.
But of course, he entitled it as the Concerto Funèbre, which you know lends kind of a mood to it already from the very beginning, the funereal concerto.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, let's hear the third movement from the Walton Concerto. This is Fabiola Kim, the violinist, along with the Munich Symphony Orchestra. Kevin John Edusay is the conductor. Music of Sir William Walton, the third movement from the Concerto for Violin and Orchestra in B minor here on FM 91. That falls in the category of a real musical discovery, both for myself and I'm sure for many people. We heard the third movement from the Concerto for Violin and Orchestra in B minor by Sir William Walton. That performance came from the violinist Fabiola Kim with the Munich Symphony, directed by Kevin John Edusay. And Fabiola Kim has been our guest. She's sitting right across from us today. That was an amazing recording, Fabiola.
Oh, thank you.
It was, and I was enjoying what a gorgeous sound you were pulling from that instrument.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Maybe that's a good point to bring up. What kind of instrument were you playing for that recording?
Yes, so I was playing on a very late Stradivarius, dated 1733. So that's just a few years before he passed. Mm-hmm. The instrument at one point belonged to Fritz Kreisler, which is a very
Wow.
And there are some recordings that Kreisler made that you can actually hear this instrument in one of his small pieces.
Everything's coming full circle, it feels like, in a way.
Color me impressed.
Yeah. And we will hear more music from this album, too, 1939. I'm very impressed. There's an hour and a half worth of music on there, so there's
a lot of
content. Could you tell us about the recording process? What was that like for you?
So this was recorded in Munich, in the Bavarian studio. A lot of recordings were made there. So we didn't have a lot of time. I live here, and we met, I think, the first day we spent, or first morning we spent rehearsing, and then that afternoon we started recording. And we hadn't played any of these pieces together, and it was the orchestra's first time to play the Walton. So it was a lot of just trusting each other. And so I think we had 3 days total. So we recorded the two concertos, the longer works, the Bartok and the Walton. And the Hartman concerto was done a couple of months later when I came back, and I had to play Mendelssohn violin concerto someplace else, but I was in Germany, so then it was a one-day project to do that.
I'm amazed it all came together so quickly. I would never have expected. Yeah. But I understand you have a more recent recording that you just finished. Could you tell us more about that?
Sure. I just recorded this new album coming out, I think, end of August. So maybe a little over a month ago. And it's going to have the title of Paraphrases. And it's a lot of music that are, you could say, transcriptions. There's Schubert's Erlkönig transcribed by, and I think it's more than a transcription. It really works so well for the violin by Ernst. There's Last Rose, Corigliano, Red Violin Caprices from the movie, some Paganini, Yi Sang Yun. So there's a lot of variety in that album that really showcases all the limits and limitlessness of the violin as an instrument.
Yeah. Is that with a piano or an orchestra
just
solo violin?
Just solo violin. We recorded it in a church from the 14th century or something like that. It's a small church, but really great acoustics also in northern Germany.
Yeah, like the Strat of church environment. Right?
I'm curious to hear about that transcription of Erlkönig, because I know in piano land that is a bear of a piece. Mm-hmm. So when it's transcribed for solo violin, how does that work?
It also is. There are so many voices and interesting lines you have to bring out, and we are limited. We can only play four notes at the same time. And even that is sort of a stretch. So a lot of double stops, a lot of very, very creative writing, false harmonics, left-hand pizzicato, so all of that.
Keeps you busy.
Yeah. Very busy.
Yeah, well, we should mention it was originally a song,
right.
by Franz Schubert, the Spice. Earl King. Yep. Kind of a spooky song, actually, when you think of the words. Well, Fabiola Kim, thank you so much for spending some time with us today and sharing your album, 1939, with us. And best of luck for your new album that's coming out.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.